True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rodgers downfield looking for Austin, picked off by Kobe Bryant. Number 8 picks off number 8. And down across the 45-yard line.
No, it's week 2. Come on now. Come on. Come on. It's week 2. I mean, like, it's good for us. Last week, probably there were some people who were feeling pretty good because everybody outside the building is talking about how great we were on offense and 34 points. That's the lead. You can't ride the highs or ride the lows. You know, you gotta refocus every single week and be a professional. And it starts with the practice and the preparation. So we just get a chance to reset. Take a look at what we did last week, what worked, what didn't work from the preparation standpoint, do better next week.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Temperatures will be in the 70s tonight as the Pirates start their final homestand against the Cubs. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. All right, that was Aaron Rodgers doing his Steelers version of R-E-L-A-X, relax, by saying it's week 2. This is probably good for us that we were put in our place here. I will correct him on something. No one was saying, hey, look how great the Steelers' offense was against the Jets. People were saying you, Aaron Rodgers, were great against the Jets. The offensive line was putrid in protecting him, and they averaged fewer than 3 yards a run. So it was mostly about him, a little bit about Arthur Smith and Calvin Austin and DK Metcalf had big games. Come back down to earth here in this game. They did not the entire game have a touchdown drive where they handled their own business. The only time they punched it in was when they got a super short field because of that interception and run by Nick Herbig. Seattle has a very good defensive line, and they had injuries in their secondary, and they still struggled. Their offense reminded me of their offense in the Pickett-Trubisky era, which was, you know what, just get the ball to Jaylen Warren and hope he does something good. He was their leading receiver and rusher yesterday. 2 weeks into the season, Malzi, Jaylen Warren is their leading receiver. He's got more receiving yards than DK Metcalf or anybody else.
Wasn't his 65-yard catch and run the longest pass play in the league thus far this year? I think it was.
The whole league?
Yeah, I think they said that on the broadcast yesterday. I mean, yeah, that is not an offense, Pony. That is hoping.
I thought Rodgers was okay.
The throw to Freiermuth on the run where Jones from the backside was unable to keep Rodgers from getting smoked at the end of it was a great throw and a great catch. I think if Austin doesn't screw up his route or catches the ball, either or, mm-hmm. I think that's one that's like a highlight reel touchdown. Old guy slings one into a very tight window because the ball was online.
Yep.
And I think, honestly, if Caleb Johnson doesn't blunder his way into one of the all-time worst plays, there's a very good chance that they like sneak out of there with a win. But he's not like the you started this with the Aaron Rodgers who used to do R-E-L-A-X to Packers fans. That dude was winning MVP awards. Even if he was better than the stats indicated in this game, the last interception, whatever. I don't really care that much about that one. The game was already decided by then. He's not that dude. So, like, to me, the upshot here or the point is he might not be playing that poorly, but they can't rely on him to single-handedly drag them to wins when the rest of the team is not playing complimentary ball.
Which was never the idea in the first place.
Right, but like I think like you can say he didn't play that bad of a game and the stats tell a little bit of a lie, and you're probably being right, but that doesn't really do much to put me at ease because there are so many other issues.
The plan was supposed to be you've got a great defense.
The plan was supposed to be you run the effing ball and he can run a bunch of play-action stuff because he's not getting touched. That was what the plan was.
Well, I don't like the Mike Tomlin play defense and run the ball plan necessarily, but hell, it worked for Philly last year. Well, so who am I to judge?
It was supposed to be a facsimile, though, with a much less mobile quarterback, I think, of Arthur Smith's best offenses.
Well, I just brought Philly up. I do think that that's what they're... obviously, everyone will say this now because they won last year's Super Bowl, but that was what Pittsburgh was trying to do before the Eagles even won the Super Bowl. That's why Weidel's here. They're trying to become an elite team on the offensive and defensive lines, and they're far from it. And everything from there... It's like everything it touches, everything that spawns off of that rots or goes to hell. They have no run game to speak of. They really can't protect Rodgers in the first place. So the way to get around that is to have him get rid of the ball super fast. He's getting rid of the ball faster than any quarterback in the league, and yet he's still on pace to get sacked 60 times this year. Imagine if he was just middle of the pack in time to throw the ball.
I mean, he might be lying unconscious on the turf at
right.
that point. Yeah, they had Broderick Jones progressed from unplayable to merely mediocre yesterday.
And Fautanu got worse.
Fautanu was much worse. I actually thought Jones was the better of the two younger tackles that they had.
And Sayamalu was making too much money.
McCormick was bad. I thought the only offensive lineman that played reasonably well was Frazier. The PFF grade's not that they're the be-all, end-all. Tend to back that up. He was the only one who graded out positively. The rest of them, I thought, were pretty bad.
And this wide receiver, too, Calvin Austin, everyone sang his praises last week, me included. Oh, maybe they don't need Tyreek Hill. Oh, maybe this whole thing, they were right. They were telling the truth. There's a reason to have confidence in these guys. We don't need help from the outside. We got this. They doubled DK Metcalf to the point where he was completely invisible and taken out of the game when he wasn't dropping balls or fighting with former teammates. And the one time his fingerprints were on this game, Calvin Austin, he ran the wrong route that turned a touchdown into an interception. So, yeah, I still think they need a Tyreek Hill or somebody like that in this offense. And I'm not even sure that even will make a difference in the end because you can't block. You can't run block. You can't pass protect.
I mean, you'd feel...
That's kind of a problem, especially, Chris, when other than McCormick, who was a day three pick... Everybody else is a pedigreed offensive lineman.
Correct.
Two first-round tackles. One of the highest-paid guards in the league. A second-round center that has everybody buzzing about, like, what a great player he could be. The next in line with Dawson and Pouncey and Webster.
You invested in this part of the team because that's what really good teams do, and you've so far not seen the return on that investment. And this is one where I would say, what does Pat Meyer do here? Like, what is Pat Meyer's redeeming quality as a coach? Certainly there's got to be somebody out there who can get through maybe to Broderick Jones more regularly, although Jones, this is like damning with the faintest of praise of all those guys who are willing to talk, seems to call it like it is the most.
His success story is Frazier to this point, a second-round pick who looks like or did look like.
They're supposed to get better, is my point, Pony, through the year as games go on. If you stay healthy as a cohesive five-man unit, in theory you should all get better. You're communicating better. You're just in sync more often. And really only for a brief part of Pat Meyer's tenure here did that look true. That in Jones's rookie year, do you remember when they could actually run the ball a little bit?
Yeah, that was in the second half of that season.
Right. They kind of looked like they were figuring it out, and then it's just been right back to square one again, man.
412-928-9370. Let's hear Aaron Rodgers on the offensive line.
You have to look at the film. I'm not trying to take a lot of shots. I felt like I was moving a little bit better today. But, you know, we got to protect it up. I get the ball out. We got to get open on time. So sometimes the coverage dictates holding on to the ball a little bit longer, but it's on all of us. I got to get rid of the ball. We got to get open. We got to hang on up front.
412-928-9370. Promised calls. Let's get back to them. Here is Fred on the fan. Hello, Fred.
Hey, how are you?
Hey.
I believe that the problem is the coaching. Starts with Mike Tomlin through everybody else. This has been an issue for the longest time. I've been saying it since 2010 that Tomlin's never going to get this team back to the Super Bowl.
After they lost the Super Bowl to Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, you immediately said, this coach sucks. We're never going to get back there with him?
Pretty much, yeah.
And what did he do back then that made you think that he was not cut out for the job?
Exactly what he's doing now. I mean, this team.
Well, yes, but those teams were winning a lot. Those teams were winning a lot back then. So I'm just surprised that you were that far ahead of the game on it. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, you could pretty much tell. I mean,
back then,
you know,
when they lost the Super Bowl to Aaron Rodgers, you could tell that they were a poorly coached team.
Yeah. Well, when they lost in the playoffs to Tim Tebow and the Broncos, and you know, you could just see it.
Thank you, Fred. They went to an AFC Championship game after that. They got killed. They got murdered by New England, and the defense was not the best during those years.
I'm not really in the mood to defend Mike a bunch, but
yeah, me neither.
The Super Bowl 45 loss featured Rodgers like in the prime of his career, at like the apex of his powers, making admittedly some throws and some plays that like you just have to tip your cap to some extent.
And that was also during a time in which the way that the Steelers, I think, allowed for the assistants to coach the team was better. You had Arians on offense and you had LeBeau on defense. And I'm not saying Mike just got out of the way and did nothing, was a figurehead coach, but he had two highly thought of, well-respected assistant coaches, a veteran team. He was more of probably a CEO coach back then.
Which there's, now, by the way, there is nothing wrong with being a CEO coach.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell is probably one of the most well-liked and respected coaches in the league right now. He was a CEO coach and still is.
Nick Sirianni's a CEO coach. He doesn't call plays.
Right. It's not a bad thing. Like, and if I would have given Mike so much credit if he had, once he got Flores in the building, said to Art, well, from moment one said, I'm not going to have you run the defense immediately because you have to get up to speed. It like makes sense that you would like gradually assume the duties. But then said to Art, don't let this guy leave. I'll surrender play calling, get Terrell Austin out of there, make him the DC, and I will actually let him do the job because they'd be better.
Fred left the station to get to the destination much earlier than I did, but we're in the same spot now. I do not think they're going to win a playoff game this year with Tomlin.
All right.
And I do not think they'll ever compete for a Super Bowl with him again.
So I do disagree with you in one sense, though. I don't think they'll ever win a playoff game with him. Again. I don't think he will win another playoff game for as long as he's here. And you might say, well, that's pretty extreme, Mulzy, and you've defended the guy longer than most people at the station, but look at the body of evidence. They haven't won one spanning now the end of Roethlisberger as a really good quarterback, some times with Ben where he's still like on guile and veteran sort of know-how could get them to the playoffs, with a first-round pick quarterback, a former number two overall, another former first-rounder, a Super Bowl winner, and now a four-time MVP and Super Bowl winner. They look no closer to being able to beat any AFC playoff caliber team than they were 7 or 8 years ago. So why would I think that suddenly a guy who one of his biggest flaws is being able to trust young players at the position to actually play the position and to like hire really good people to surround himself? Why would he start doing any of those things now that would lead potentially to the Steelers winning a playoff game?
Man, are they missing a golden opportunity, I feel like, this year. Already it's broken in their direction. You got the Jets in week one with a new quarterback. You survived that game. You should have beaten them by way more. You have Seattle. It's only Sam Darnold's second start as a Seahawk in a new offense. Their best defensive back is out. You lose that game. You should have been 2-0 or could have been 2-0. Now J.J. McCarthy's out for Minnesota. That could be another win. You've got Jake Browning now in Burrow. You're not going to see him at all this year. That should be two more wins. I mean, with
everything. Should be, but pretty reliably won't be.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can't in good faith say that any game right now that they play is a lock for them to win with the way their defense has performed for now 10 games going back to the midpoint of last year.
$160 million.
Here is our favorite stoner listener, Johnny and Farrell. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, man.
I'll be real quick and shut up because I really do respect your guys' opinions a lot. One, change the offense. I think it's simple. You saw it yesterday. You saw it with Ben when he had subpar lines. When you have a subpar line, what do? Do you fold? No. You adapt and overcome. No huddle. We did it yesterday, and then the show killer, Art, he slowed it back down. Not even just slowed it down. He took it all the way down to 2 seconds, 1 second. But the no huddle was working. And then on defense, I would just fire Austin and just Tomlin needs to swallow his pride and just run the LeBeau defense. We had the personnel for it. And then one last thing on special teams. Why are we conceding the 35-yard line or worse every time on a kickoff? And then we get it at the 22. But why? What are we doing wrong on kickoffs? What happens if you kick it out of the end zone? Where do they get it now?
35.
Oh, geez. So then we got to figure out a better way to get the ball before the 30.
May I suggest, Johnny, that they just don't have a 225-pound running back who does not appear to know the rules return kicks for them anymore.
I like the no huddle idea. That was
you can sprinkle it in.
That was when Ben's offense was at his best with Canada. That puts it more.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In Rodgers' hands, I like that. It also simplifies the defense that you're playing against. They can't make substitutions. They right. can't make adjustments.
Tires
they,
them out.
They've got to play exactly. They've got to play more of a base defense.
Probably also makes your offensive lines work easier because they're going against tired pass rushers if they're having successful plays. And I think it's always easier to backpedal and protect in a no huddle than it is to try to get after the passer. By the way, you know who we haven't heard from today in the YouTube comments, which have been all over the place? Adrian. You know why? Adrian predicted 37-10 Steelers.
Not the worst prediction I've heard with the final score for the losing team being a 10. Text us on the Edgar Snyder Associates fan text line. A person in your law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. More of your calls at 412-928-9370. On another abysmal showing by the Steelers. Defensive showing for sure. These pile on each other. They're stacking them like pancakes right now.
I'm concerned about a lot of things. We didn't perform to the level that we desired, not only in that space, but in a lot of spaces. And so certainly there's a lot that has my attention leading into this upcoming week.
There's a lot that has Mike Tomlin's attention. Okay, great. What's he going to do about it? Is he going to fire Terrell Austin and bring somebody in here to actually coach a defense, run a defense?
Well, that would involve him ceding control of the defense, which is his baby.
If I were the czar of common sense for the Steelers,
Bill Simmons once proposed a position in every front office like that, the GM of common sense.
Yes. Here's what I would do over there this week. This is, you don't need to be any kind of great football mind to do this. I'd say every single defensive meeting, every place defensive guys in our on our team, wherever they go, wherever they pee, wherever they take a crap, wherever they get lunch and smoothies and whatnot, wherever they get their backs massaged and buttocks massaged, all these places they go within our facility, in every single room, I want that third and goal at the 19-yard line played on loop. And I want them to see it, and I want them to hear it for six straight days. Because that, to me, is the epitome of what this defense has become. That play right there, I think, encapsulates it all. They're giving up. They want to make it a two-possession game. They're not that interested in scoring a touchdown. It's not a play to score a touchdown. It's a play to make sure they get a field goal. And not only do they score a touchdown, they score a touchdown in easy fashion, where I still don't think Kenneth Walker got touched. He even said something after the game like, I can't believe that happened the way that it did.
He got
break a sweat on that play.
He made one cut after getting the pitch, and he just ran straight up the field.
And all these people over there that act like they have pride and accountability and stuff, and they give a crap about like the Steelers brand and logo and all this. No, they don't. They don't. They don't play with it. If it was a talent, if it was a question of, man, these guys have no talent whatsoever, then that's one thing. This is a $160 million defense. It's coached by Mike Tomlin. And they let stuff like that happen now every bleeping week.
Having talent doesn't stop you from being old. And now they're getting older at some pretty key positions. Hayward is old for his position.
Watts in his 30s.
Watts not young for his position. Ramsey's not that young.
Slay is old.
Slay's old.
Yep.
I would say who else, now that I'm thinking about it a little bit more.
Well, those are the big ones.
They got a couple other guys. I mean, Queen is not like a neophyte in NFL terms.
Queen and Highsmith are supposed to be in the primes of their careers.
Sure.
And Highsmith is hurt all the time. And Queen, now he's making all this money, but we're hearing, well, if a offensive lineman gets a hold of him, he's screwed. If a tight end gets a hold of him, he's screwed. He needs to be so free, he can't get touched. He needs to have.
And he's not a $14 million a year inside linebacker. Yep. Then he's like a second string guy if that's how vulnerable he is.
Here is Marty on the fan. Hello, Marty.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
You're pretty much harping on everything I've been harping for years on with Tomlin. You know, he runs the defense. It's been awful for years. Awful. But I wouldn't be with the guy when he said 2010. That's a little bit of a reach. But
Just one quick clarification on my part, Marty, and I'll let you finish. I don't think it's been awful. I think it's been overrated. I think based on what they spend on it, it's supposed to be elite, and it's not. They have games where they are. They had stretches early last year where it looked like it was going in that direction. And now at this very second, you're right. This current Steelers defense is awful. And it's been awful for a long time.
And he needs to, they need to hire. I said I called you guys, I forget, weeks ago. Robert Saleh should have been hired. You know, he went back to San Francisco. He got fired by the Jets. He's the defensive coordinator in San Fran. He shut Seattle completely down in that game, so forget about that. But he can't coach the defense anymore. Hire a defensive coordinator.
But part of it, Marty, it isn't just that you would hire a defensive coordinator. It's you have to get the owner to say, and the defensive coordinator gets to run the defense. We are taking that permission from you.
And you know how you make sure that gets executed on game day? Art or Dan or somebody would have to go down on the sideline like Jim Irsay's daughter has. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I knew you were going in that direction.
Have you seen this, Donnie?
She's in the locker room. She's got a headset on.
She's got like five notepads going.
She's got a headset on, and she claims, I think, she doesn't talk. What is her name? Kaylin, I want to say.
Yeah, I'm a fan of this woman.
Well, she
That's
says,
how I would do it.
She basically explained it like, I put a headset on and I just listen because, frankly, I want to know if like... Just trying to make it a more efficient operation.
If we bleep up, who? I think she said, if we screw up, who am I going to get on? And if if something works out, I want to know who to give credit
right.
to.
And if they were 0-2, even if she hadn't said word one into the headset, which I don't think she does.
No,
I mean, she
doesn't.
Just listens,
no,
which is smart.
Microphone.
Yeah,
on
it's
it.
Just a headset. If they were 0-2, people would be mocking it on general principles. They're 2-0. I think it's working. They got Danny Dimes looking like he actually can play the position.
Indiana Jones, baby.
Oh, yeah, that's what we got to call him now.
Here is one of the queens of the PM team. She is back with a vengeance. Candy in Monroeville. Hello, Candy.
Candy, it's wonderful to hear from you.
Hi, guys. A long time no talk.
Candy, what the heck is going on here with these Steelers?
We missed you. We wish we were talking to you under happier circumstances with this team. But yes, please explain to us from your point of view what's happening to this outfit here.
Okay, remember, I'm an old lady, okay? Candy, the psychiatrist, says that Mike Tomlin has never wanted an assistant coach that might be better than he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why we have ineffective assistant coaches. And I could be wrong about that. And I will I'll admit it if I'm wrong, if somebody can point it out. And the other thing that I truly don't understand is that they make some of the plays that I swear to God, I'm sitting watching the television saying, why in God's name did you run that play? And
now, how about when the kickoff return man just let the ball bounce and didn't pick it up and then Seattle scored a touchdown? What was Candy in Monroeville doing then?
Screaming my head off silently because I don't want to bother the neighbors. But I mean, I just couldn't fathom it. And I truly think that the fact that Mike Tomlin has no coaching tree might tell us a little bit of something that's going. And believe it or not, I've always liked Mike Tomlin. I've mm-hmm. always defended him. But I just really don't know. I don't know what the whole team is thinking. They make such bonehead plays. And, you know, I know they bet heavily on Aaron Rodgers, but let's be realistic, guys. You need more than a quarterback to make a team.
Well, the Bengals have shown that. They've had Joe Burrow, and now he's hurt again because they can't protect him. And last year, they couldn't play any defense. So you're spot on as usual with that. Candy, when you want to call in, we'll put you right at the top of the list here and get your thoughts on things from here on out, okay?
Okay, well, I appreciate it, guys, and hang in there, everybody, but I hate to say it, I can't see it getting a lot better.
Yeah, neither can we. Thank you, Candy.
What a parting message.
You know, people,
keep your heads up, everybody, but it's probably going to keep being terrible.
People misconstrue the coaching thing, the coaching tree point, like the Tomlin defenders, and they'll bring up how Belichick's coaching tree, a lot of guys left and a lot of guys didn't do well. That's not the point. The coaching tree point is you had someone for you who did such a good job. Another team wanted to promote the guy and make him a head coach. Period. If the guy fails or succeeds there, it's irrelevant. It's the fact that someone for you did so well, another team wanted to hire him. That hasn't happened in almost 20 years here.
That's actually the critique of Mike that more than anything else, I would love to take to every member of the national media who sort of just kind of reflexively repeats all the usual national talking points about how great he is. And I would just want to say, please tell me how you, smart media person who studies a lot of football on every team, explain the fact that this man has not had one coach poached from him.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That music means it's time for Donnie's biggest football topic of the day. It's called the Donnie Football Debrief. It's brought to you by Saloni's, Italian bread company, over 100 years of baking experience. Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Sly Stallone is back for the original hit series, Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King Sunday, September 21st. Exclusively on Paramount Plus. I asked my dad for some takes on this year's season because he's in it. And
he said Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet.
What if Pony's dad gave him the exact like line for line points here?
Andrew, you're not going to believe this. Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet.
I think I'm going to text him and ask him if he agrees with that because he would tell me if he thought it was true.
Now, has he been on like the whole show, or is he just on one season?
Once he realizes he's going to have a role, does he watch like the previous seasons to get ready for it if he hadn't watched it already? Like to familiarize himself with the
character? Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah, I think he does.
Like if he's going to have a speaking role of any kind, I would imagine.
Like he'll straight up tell me, it's like, yeah, I'm in this movie that I'm working on now. This movie sucks.
Conversely, does he tell you, I'm in this thing right now and I think it's going to be pretty good?
Yeah, he will.
What was that movie that... our boy Carrot Top was in, and Norm McDonald made fun of it.
Chairman of the board.
Yeah, was board spelled B-O-R-E-D?
That's the best part is that Conan goes, because like Courtney Thorne Smith, total babe, by the way, back in the day, is on.
Wow, Mulsey.
I mean, not even arguable. Anyway, she's on. Norm has been like having fun with the whole situation. And she goes, it's called Chairman of the Board. And Conan looks right at it and just goes, do something with that, you freak. He waits like a half beat and then just hits him with that chairman. And that's the best part is she starts laughing because she knows he's right.
Don, what do you got for us in the debrief today?
The debrief, September 15, 2025. Well, the happiest people about the Steelers' loss should be Pat Narduzzi and the Pitt Panthers.
Yeah.
I didn't get to watch really any of the Backyard Brawl live. We had one of our million weddings of the last few years on Saturday.
Oh, jeez.
But I felt that game going that direction. I thought Pitt would win similar fashion. I thought it would be Pitt winning in a dogfight type scenario. And you made the reference earlier to somebody predicting an incorrect score from the other day. Our buddy Doran had Pitt winning 42-10. I think Jason Mackey had Pitt winning in blowout fashion. I don't know what Crowley's prediction was, if he stood by his
Crowley picked West Virginia 13-9.
That's
win.
A good pick by that's a nice job by Crowley. I give him a lot of credit for that. I do.
But I never really understood thinking that Pitt would just go in there and like bowl them over. When have they ever really showed
They can't handle prosperity.
That they could do that.
They can't handle prosperity, and I knew relative prosperity. They were just a modest 2-0, and had handled their business. I thought that the fact that West Virginia looked so bad against Ohio, where Parker Navarro throws three picks in one quarter, and they still win and never really threatened Ohio in that game to tie it, the combination of that and Pitt riding high off of a pretty comfy win over like an overmatched Mac foe, to me, that was just catnip for West Virginia +6.5 or whatever it was. And I'm an idiot and didn't remember to actually like put in a bet on it. The way that game transpired, just the sheer amount of, oh my God, Holstein is, what is he doing? Like so many throws were just atrocious. I thought Pat had a horrible game coaching. That was all very predictable. I thought Pitt would find a way to win only because West Virginia is that damn bad, but by like a field goal. But it didn't, like, shock me by any stretch of the imagination that Pitt laid an egg here.
It's actually eerie how similar they are to the Steelers. The way last year went, they got off to a great start. Then they lost those six games in a row at the end of the year. They come back this year. There's a little bit of positivity because they retained their best players who were All-Americans, like Dez Reed and Kyle Lewis. Second year of Holstein in the offense. Conference is not really loaded for Barry. You've got Clemson, and look at them. They've already lost two games. So you're in a pretty good spot. Your coach is known for defense, just like Tomlin. You go up 24-14, and you let West Virginia go 12 plays, 70 yards to make it a one-score game. Just like Tomlin, you punt in a situation where you could have easily gone for it, up a touchdown, because you trust your defense. And then that defense let West Virginia go 87 yards in 2 minutes to tie the game. When you're in year 11 under a defensive coach, and you're facing a team that's in game three with 82 new players, I don't care if the game's in Morgantown or in Donnie's basement. You cannot let that team go 90 yards in 2 minutes to tie the game. Especially when the quarterback's been either knocked out of the game because he's hurt, or he's been benched for a freshman who threw two interceptions and got benched. And the kid comes off ice cold that they're not playing for a while and orchestrates two, like, seamless scoring drives. And that's not even to mention Chris, the running back, had never played before for them. He was a Northern Illinois transfer, and he went for a 150 and three touchdowns.
Well, I think that's more than just the eerie similarity and, like, whatever, their defensive coaches. I think the ego for both guys comes into play here, and I'll explain it thusly. Pat's best seasons, two best seasons by far, when they upset Clemson in the famous game. That's Canada, the 1 year as OC where he balled out, got himself the LSU job. He ate off that performance. They had Peterman. They scored a ton of points. That was the most fun Pitt offense I have
They
beat Penn State and Clemson. They snapped a huge home win streak for Clemson, all that jazz, right? His other best season, Kenny Pickett puts together a bronze medalist Heisman Trophy campaign.
Yep.
They, again, are a scoring machine that generally wins games by simply outscoring the opposition. I think Pat, much like I firmly believe Mike, with the way he felt probably internally, like, I never got the credit for any of the good things that happened. It was all Ben, or it was all somebody else, but especially all Ben.
Yeah.
I think both of them want to win their way. I honestly got the sense from Pat after the Kenny Pickett big year that he almost wanted to take them back.
He wanted to start running the ball again.
Yes. He wanted it to be his way. My way works.
But that the only rebuttal there is I do feel like Cade Bell was out of Pat's comfort zone. It's a guy that wants to play fast, and it was somebody that was not like an old school coach. It was a young kid in his 30s who came from an FCS program.
I understand that. I understand that, and that is true. It's a good rebuttal, but, like, even if you have Cade Bell in game, you can still grip the steering wheel too tight because defense. They're both stubborn, proud dudes who want to do it their way. And in Pat's case, in both cases, really, Mike ain't going anywhere. The Rooneys aren't going to do that. In Pat's case, he's got 5 years left on his deal right now. He's not going anywhere either.
Jack is here as a Pitt student and intern. You know what's got to be crazy? Malsy's just made the light bulb go on for me. The two best seasons, Chris said, is exactly right. The Matt Canada season and then the Kenny Pickett season. And both of those guys screwed the Steelers. If you are a Pitt fan who also roots for the Steelers, of which there are thousands of people, the two guys that you would want to put on a pedestal at Pitt, you can't because they effed your NFL team so
well,
bad.
Well, a lot of people
think about that.
A lot of people think that the Steelers screwed Kenny. A lot of people in that particular crowd.
I'm sorry.
They hate Canada, but they love Kenny and think the Steelers screwed him.
Kenny, absolutely. Just like I was telling Crowley, it's a joke that Pat White's number is not retired at West Virginia. If Pitt retired Kenny Pickett's number, I would totally get it as their all-time leading passer. If he came back for a game that wasn't against some Jamoke team, it was a legitimate game where there were like 60,000 people there, he'd get booed by some. He 100% would.
Wouldn't he back there for a game last year and there was
yes,
a reaction?
Yes, he was back there for the Cuse game last year. He did not get booed.
Did they have some kind of book? Did they show him? Did they introduce him? Did they?
I think he was just an honorary captain. Like, they introduced him before.
And no booze?
And, no, I don't. He didn't.
So really what we've established here in this debrief is that Narduzzi and Tomlin are the Spider-Man meme. Except Tomlin's got a Super Bowl, which...
But
Pat,
Tomlin bought
major
in,
feather.
Tomlin bought into stuff that happened at Pitt.
No,
and
know.
Thought it could translate into the NFL.
I think they all got suckered in. They were all way... Kevin Colbert, they were all way too close to it.
I mean, that would be like if the Dolphins franchise got set back, or the Patriots got set back 10 years because they hired Boston College's offensive coordinator and drafted the quarterback.
Wouldn't it
there?
Be like akin to the Dolphins saying, we don't need Dan Marino anymore, we're going to draft this Gino Toretta kid in the first round or something like that?
What if they draft Carson Beck and they push Tua to the side?
Seriously though, like what do you do in either situation? I mean, it does seem very stagnant at Pitt under Pat, and he's probably good to pick a team that they shouldn't beat on their schedule later this year. They'll probably find a way to do one of those.
They'll end up finding a way to win one of those last three.
But, I mean, it's not getting better,
and it'll be the typical. Hey,
no,
they
I know.
Still got one.
It's not getting better, and he is locked in there for a long time still.
But we also have to remember here. The frustrating thing about yesterday is, or Saturday is that, okay, like I understand Pitt fans' frustrations because they're always stuck in that 7-5 kind of rigmarole. But when you're facing your arch rival, and they look like they're at rock bottom right now, lose to Ohio. Tons of new players, no quarterback, and it's the last time you're going to play this game for 3 years. You have to win this. You have to win that game. I'm sorry, they could beat Notre Dame, and that does not make up for this loss. They got to beat like two really good teams now to make up for it. In my opinion, they got to beat like Florida State and Notre Dame.
The nature of any rivalry is even if they have two of those unexpected wins, West Virginia fans for several years can still say we beat you. The real upshot here is. If Pitt traveled to Athens to play Ohio, if I were setting that line this week, it's Ohio minus.
Ohio was in the game with Ohio State.
They were.
Donnie, did you see that when you were at the wedding?
They were down like two scores.
They were a game Bobcat group against them.
I'm going to tell you right now, I would put the line at like Ohio minus 7.5 against Pitt if it was in Ohio.
Jeez.
They were only 2.5 point dogs against West Virginia. Okay, maybe Ohio minus 5.5.
They're a battle-tested
they
max
a better
one,
quarterback
no
than
doubt.
Pitt.
Big rivalry game for Donnie this weekend, by the way.
Eli Holstein, how much money is he getting in NIL? And how much of a coup was it that they kept him?
Jack, do you know? What's the scuttlebutt on campus? What kind of money's Holstein making? What do they say on campus?
I have no idea, but there was like actual concern that he was going to transfer last
year. Okay,
I've
changed my tune on one thing. If you're able to now pay these players, even through NIL, like hundreds of thousands, in some cases, rare cases, millions, when they're this bad... The gloves come off in a way that they didn't. You're getting paid now, like over the table, and we all know he is bad. His last throw of the game on their last gasp is a check down way short of the sticks that he overthrows the guy by, what, how many yards? I mean, just an atrocity.
I would have said to you that Cade Bell wants to play the kid that transferred in at quarterback from Western Carolina.
His first
Carolina.
Throw went out of the stadium.
Exactly.
He tried to throw a swing pass, and I think he hit somebody in the first row.
He threw it to our listener, Bill, the guy that sits in the front row with the coal miner's helmet on and the painted face.
He
threw it right to him.
Knocked the lamp right off his helmet.
All right. That was the debrief. Thank you, Don. Yeah, reliving all these nightmares from the weekend for... Football fans here.
God, it was
West
a
Virginia,
really trash weekend.
Steelers,
for
Seahawks.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.